The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 105, Image Comics, The Scumbag. Hey, John.
You're a scumbag.
No, you're a scumbag. Oh, man. This was a long episode. We had a lot of news this week.
We did. It was a news-heavy week.
Yeah, but we had a few tangents as well. We went on a really nice Darth Vader tangent in there. That's always fun.
Yep. Gotta love Darth Vader.
And, John, let me ask you again. What was your favorite part of the show? He's stumped.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't have one.
Is this the first? I think this is
the open.
Yeah, there you go. The open. I think this is going to be the first episode where we get our Matthew McConaughey Captain America crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh?
Stay tuned.
If you've been on Twitter the last couple of days, you should know what I'm talking about. So, all right. That should do it. Let's get into the store and get to all the excitement, all of the news, all of the fun. Right, John?
Can't wait. I'm already in the store.
Hey, Johnny Bonesaw, how you doing? You are raring to go today.
I am, man. I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I am doing very good now that I'm here. It's my favorite part of, I was going to say day, but it's my favorite part of the week.
Awesome.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look at you, all enthusiastic. It's like you're texting me like, Bonesaw is ready. And then your little name on the screen, Bonesaw. You got, like you said, you got continuity going.
You right, are I'm all pumped. About the continuity. Yep.
You are jacked and pumped, ready to go.
I am. I wish I was jacked, but I'm pumped.
Well, your family calls you Jack.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go. You're that's jacked.
True. Yeah, I guess I'm jacked. Yeah.
Oh, man. How's your week been?
Okay. Can't complain.
That's good.
Yeah, can't complain. It was kind of a slow week again, but today was good. So.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Any big books selling today? I don't know. Like, did the Batman still selling? How did 101 do?
I mean, it sold well. It didn't sell like Joker, you know, it didn't sell like 100 did. But it still sold. There weren't any really big books for this week. You know, no three Jokers or anything like that. But Batman was probably the biggest release this week. Well, and Spider-Man, you know, there was a Spider-Man 50.LR or whatever it just came out. So, again, both of those are, I mean, it's my two number one selling titles. So they both came out today.
Right.
Can't complain about that.
No. I'm surprised Batman 101 didn't sell as big though, because you and I were talking, we were looking forward to this one, like even before 100 came out.
Yeah, and I honestly, I haven't gotten to it yet.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but yeah, I am looking forward to it, just to see, you know, what the new status quo is when it comes to Batman. I did read Nightwing, though, so, I mean, that's kind of a little bit of an aftermath of Joker War as well. So I did read that. That was good, but haven't gotten to Batman.
Yeah, Batman was... I could talk about it now. It was good. I think you'll like the beginning of it. It's got a nice nostalgic feel to it. First few pages. Okay. You'll enjoy that. I think. No, it's not a spoiler or anything, but it's pretty good. I like where the story's going. It's going to be fun. It's definitely different, let's just say, the aftermath. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. We'll have to talk about that next week when you've read it. Maybe we'll do a Kryptonite next week.
Sure.
So, all right. What else do we got? We've got plenty. I know that. There's tons of news this week.
There's tons of news this week. Yeah. I mean, I've got some breaking news that came out earlier today, since we're talking about Batman. Looks like Jared Leto is set to reprise his role as the Joker in the Snyder Cut Justice League release. So,
I didn't see that. I've been busy.
So, I mean, we know that he's Ben Affleck's Joker, so I mean, it makes sense. But I mean, that's kind of like the first bit of bad news I've heard in regard to the Snyder Cut, because I'm really not a fan of his Joker. But you know, in a different context, who knows? You know,
yeah.
I like Jared Leto in general,
right?
I just didn't like his take on the Joker. Now, I mean, visually, it's going to be the same. So there's not going to be any difference there. But I mean, the writing and the story could be completely different,
right?
And you know, honestly, we didn't get a big taste of him in Suicide Squad, anyways. But
no, I thought that was what the biggest flaw was in Suicide Squad, is it was supposed to be Joker. There was supposed to be more of him, and it seemed like a lot of it got cut.
But yeah. Well, and according to him and David, you know, David Ayer, they've both said that. So. You know, I know he was famously, I'm surprised he's coming back, because he was famously very put out with Warner Brothers in DC because of all the scenes that were cut from that movie, you know, and, you know, there was talk that, you know, he was done and he was never going to come back and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, here he is. So I don't know if he was promised a much meatier role in this or what. But I was thinking as I read this story, like,
The story, not just the headline?
Well, just the headline.
Oh, okay.
Just the headlines. But how mad must Ben Affleck be? Because,
why?
Like, because he's probably like, man, you know, Keaton gets Nicholson, Bale gets,
You're saying Jared Leto isn't the Nicholson of our time?
Yeah. I don't know why Ledger. I don't know why I blanked on his name. Yeah. Bale gets Ledger, you know, Conroy gets Hamill, and I get Leto. You know?
Yeah, so I'd
be like, man.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, they all were really good, even before their roles. But they made those roles. And one of the things about Leto was he sank himself into that role. The stories that you hear, it's like,
right,
we didn't get to see him on screen. He was barely in it. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe Snyder promised him, you know, we'll flesh out the character a little bit more, but maybe not even here. I'm wondering how much there are promises of, if this thing succeeds going forward, what's this universe going to be like going forward? After the Snyder Cut.
I don't know that there's any, you know, I don't know that there's anything going forward, but there could, you know, who knows? You know, again, we know for sure that, you know, Ezra Miller is, you know, going to be the Flash in the Flashpoint movie. So there's going to be a connection there. Obviously Gal Gadot continues as Wonder Woman. So, I mean, the universe does go on in some fashion, but, you know, who knows? You know, I don't think we get Ben Affleck back, or I don't even know if we get Henry Cavill back at this point. You know, he's so committed to every other movie that comes out. You know, he's like, you know, The Rock Jr. So I don't know if he has time to be Superman anymore.
Well, playing Sherlock, possibly 007. Yeah, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
The
he's
Witcher.
In every franchise going as it is. So I don't know if he has time for Superman anymore.
Think he's going to be a Pikachu somewhere.
Yeah. Detective Chimp. I don't know.
Yes.
Curious George.
Right. he would make a great man in the yellow hat.
I'll say he's the man in the yellow hat.
He'd be fantastic.
He's the jacked man in the yellow hat.
He actually is, because if you remember the way they drew the man in the yellow hat was that, you know, he had that angled, chiseled, you know, athletic cut.
It's like, yeah. I mean, but from what I can recall, he could touch his waist with his arms. I don't know. I don't know if Cavill can do that.
But he's getting along just fine without it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't need Superman anymore.
Right.
Hey, you know
what? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the next bit of news. Buck Rogers,
is
coming back. There's a new movie in development. He could be Buck Rogers for all we know. you know.
Breaking. Henry Cavill is Buck Rogers. Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Anybody that's a kid of the 80s, you know, loved Buck Rogers growing up.
Yeah.
I know I did.
Yep.
And,
absolutely.
You know, he's kind of one of those long forgotten heroes. You know, back in the day.
Yeah, you know, he was, but once you hear
it. He was right up there. You know, it was like, oh, there was, you know, Tarzan and Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon and all these old characters that were huge back in their day. And then he's just kind of been lost to time. Like, there's just been nothing since the 80s. It's been 40 years. And, you know, you just don't hear Buck Rogers anymore.
No.
So I'm really interested to see, again, always a character that I loved. I love that show. I mean, the premise is still relevant, you know.
Who's going to play Erin Gray's role? Because I think she was my first crush.
I think so, too. Especially in season one with the skin-tight white leather uniform. Now, that evolved a little bit in season two, but...
got baggier.
Yeah, in season one, that was the thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what was her name?
Wilma.
Oh, yeah, that's
Wilma
right.
Deering. Yeah. Nice. Oh, I remember.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't much for names.
Yeah, Tweaky and
I remember
Dr.
actually
Theopolis.
I do remember Tweaky, which was you know, C-3PO knockoff.
Exactly.
But
yeah, I loved Buck Rogers. So I'm really excited for this. You know, again, and obviously it's going to be updated 20th century version, but
what? You're saying that wasn't futuristic back in 79?
Well, it was, but
yeah.
We've come a little way since then.
That will be I can't wait for that. That's one of those things that like you said, it's one of those things that you completely forget about, and then somebody just mentions, like, they just say Buck, and, like, right. Everything comes flooding back. Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, so that's cool. That was cool news to hear.
What else we got?
Know, supposedly they're trying to reboot a whole franchise. Like, there might be a TV show or something involved as well.
Ooh.
So yeah, be kind of cool.
What platform? Any idea?
For the TV show, I haven't heard anything specific. I know the movie is a movie, so I mean, I think it's in development for theaters, if theaters exist. I mean, it could get bought by Amazon Prime.
Facetiously.
Yeah, it could be like Coming to America too.
Well, that
and get
it
sold
truly will
Prime,
be in the 25th century.
Exactly. By the time it comes out, it will be the 25th century.
Jeez.
So. Yeah, so I don't know. If movies still exist in the future, that will be one.
These executives are going to be sitting back just throwing titles out there, being like, I don't care if these get made. We're entertaining the public, and it's free. All we got to do is throw out ideas.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, there's no new ideas anymore. So it's just a bunch of people sitting around going, like, what's super old that we can bring back again that people have forgotten about? Because... you know, like, again, Buck Rogers was kind of lost to time. Like, nobody was thinking about Buck Rogers anymore.
Right.
So
let's bring back something that, and it can't offend anybody because you can't bring back,
and
like,
honestly,
the Honeymooners.
There's an entire generation of people that this will be like a brand new IP, you know? Like,
yeah.
They've never heard of Buck. My kids have never heard of Buck Rogers. Hell, your kids don't even know Cheers, so they definitely don't know Buck Rogers.
Yeah, I'm never going to live that down.
You're not going to live that down.
Let's move on.
There.
Yeah.
We'll
all right, let's move on to the next thing where you can throw a dig my way.
Yeah. So we talked about Disney Plus was redoing the Star Wars holiday special.
Yeah.
Lego. You know, a Lego holiday special. Well, it looks like they've got a bunch of the original voice actors signed to this. For sure, Billy Dee Williams, Anthony Daniels, and Kelly Marie Tran are confirmed to join. But I've also heard rumor of, like, Daisy Ridley and maybe, like, Oscar Isaac or John Boyega coming back also. So,
that'll be fun.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, I know the Star Wars holiday special was famously terrible, but, you know, this is a Lego thing, and I'm sure that they're going to do a great job with it. I'm sure they'll poke a lot of fun at the original. And,
right.
But you know, notably in the original, there was no Billy Dee Williams or Kelly Marie Tran, so it's not a strictly a remake,
right,
of the original holiday special. I guess this is going to be.
Well, yeah, especially
had,
if they're going to be.
We've had eight other movies since then, so
right.
I imagine
that's
it's
what
gonna
I was just
going to
say.
Whole, the whole universe. But yeah, that looks pretty cool. So
yeah,
can't wait. And it's going to be coming up soon. I haven't seen exactly, but.
Well, yeah, we've only got like a week left before November. And
yeah, I would imagine in the next 4 or 5 weeks we'll see that. So.
Right. That'll be fun. Looking forward to that. And that's on what, Disney Plus?
Disney Plus, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Got some DC news. A couple things, actually. DC dropped a couple of bombshells this week. The first one, which isn't in the notes, DC has now cut all ties with one of their two distributors that they forced all the retailers to use.
Oh.
So, yeah, the this bombshell came on Monday as opposed to Friday, so it was kind of shocking to get an email from DC on Monday and have it be something that wasn't
they must have forgot to hit send on
Friday. Yeah, they didn't know what day it was anymore. But yeah, DC is dropping UCS, which is Midtown, after the first of the year. And they are going to be exclusive now with Lunar distribution. So
okay.
I'm completely okay with this on a personal level because that's who I chose to use arbitrarily. I got lucky and
right.
That's who I'm using. But for like the other 50% of retailers out there, like this is just problems again. You know what I mean? It's like I don't understand what they're doing over there. This is not really like now we're in the news and I'm going to go into a DC rant, but it's like how much upheaval like
right.
are they trying to throw on us in 2020? It's like 2020 isn't bad enough already.
Right.
Like you just upset the world 3-4 months ago by dropping Diamond and getting everybody to pick one of these two distributors. And then all these people that have now settled in and have got their stuff straightened out with UCS and finally got their processes and POS systems in place and all this stuff. And now they're losing and they have to start all over again with Lunar. So it's just like, I don't even know what's going on over there at DC, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was some news that dropped this week. And, you know, for the comic book retailers out there. Again, it's completely transparent to the consumer. Like, most customers won't know anything about this. Other than, again, another round of stores that are finally like, you know what, screw it. I'm just not going to carry DC anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, a bunch of stores dropped DC the first time around. And now, you know, if you listen to what people are saying on Facebook, and I know a lot of it comes in frustration in the heat of the moment, and it may not, you know, once cooler heads prevail, you know, it may not happen. But there was another round of all these people saying, all right, that's it, I'm done, I'm dropping DC. And that does affect the consumer to some degree, because if your local store stops carrying DC comics, then that's a problem for you trying to figure out where you're going to go get your books. So,
yeah.
Like, I just don't understand why they can't realize that some stability for more than a 3 month period of time would be beneficial for them going forward. Like, I don't know.
But trying to look at it from their side, not that I have any clue, but there's got to be something going on internally that makes that, because they don't want upheaval. I'm sure they don't want to do this. You know what I mean?
I mean, unless maybe. You know, and again, there hasn't been any statements to this, but maybe Midtown is pulling out.
Right.
You know, it might be that. But still, it's kind of like if you're DC, that just indicates, again, that you just didn't do your research and you didn't do your due diligence. Like if Midtown is saying, and again, I'm not saying that they are because I don't know either. But if they're like, you know what, this is too much for us and we don't want to do it anymore and you know, we're done. Again, that's DC didn't vet, you know, their vetting process wasn't there, you know? It's like,
right.
You know, you should get commitments. It's like, well, you know what, if you want to do this, we'll let you be our distributor, but I'm locking you in for 12 months or 24 months or whatever, you know?
Right.
And not the other way around. So I don't know. Again, it's just more upheaval in a time where we don't need any more.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And comics are already, you hurting. Know, comics are, right. It's already tenuous at best for most stores to even hang on.
Right.
And again, like I said, for me personally, this time around, I'm completely unaffected. So it doesn't matter to me one way or the other, except to say that I hope Lunar doesn't get, like, their processes have been fantastic.
Now what if they get overwhelmed?
But if they get overwhelmed, then now all of a sudden their packing quality starts to go down, or the books start showing up late. Like, who knows? Then maybe it will affect everybody. But as it stands right now, they've done a great job. So, you know, I've been actually really happy with it once all the dust settled. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens.
Well,
But yeah, so that was their first announcement. And then the second announcement came early this week also. And they announced their future state event.
Yeah, well, so I saw this in the notes.
You got a chance to see this.
I didn't. So what is that?
This is basically in January and February, they are going to suspend all the current line of DC titles. And those months are going to be populated with a bunch of miniseries events called Future State. And what this seems to be is like an amalgamation of the 5G plans that they had. But maybe on a smaller scale, and, you know, instead of being something that's the new status quo, it's just going to be like a 2-month event. So again, there's different versions of all your favorite characters. Like we mentioned with 5G, you know, Jonathan Kent becomes Superman. Batman has retired and he's now a new character. He's not Batman anymore. He's the Dark Detective. And he looks just like Batman. So, like, you know, I don't even understand it. The costume looks just like Batman's costume, except now he's called the Dark Detective. And he's got a mini series there. There's a Hispanic, female Wonder Woman. So they're just shaking up their, like I said, all their characters in their lineup for a couple of months. And
they're suspending all the other?
And they're suspending all other books. So this will be the DC lineup for January and February. And then everything else will come back after, you know, in March after that. So
I don't know if I like that.
I don't like it at all, personally. I don't know that there's going to be any interest in these. Mm-mm. And all it really seems to me is that I'm going to have 2 months of not really having any sales of DC books, which is financially an issue for me. I don't know what the buy-in is going to be from customers that are going to want to read any of this. I just don't know. I haven't started to market it yet. I'll probably wait until early November, which is just a couple of weeks away. But I'll start marketing, sending marketing stuff out in November to try to get because the November previews is when all this stuff will show up, because it'll start hitting the stores in January. So once it downloads into my system and I have some marketing material, I'll start sending it out and I'll see what kind of interest I have. But, you know, again, I'm whatever the Dark Detective miniseries is, I'm not going to sell the 35 or 40 copies a month, or actually twice a month. So the 70 or 80 copies a month of Batman that I sell, you know. Dark Detective is never going to sell 80 copies, you know, or whatever it is. So, so I don't know. Yeah, it's just again more DC shenanigans. Really, it's just.
Yeah, I kind of I don't like that. I'm the only thing, and again, it's like I'm having a hard time here trying to come up with a positive. Because I'm going to miss, I feel like it's like you're taking, it's almost like a commercial in the middle of a movie.
Right.
You know, you're like, okay, we've got you invested into, you know, the Batman universe or whatever you're reading at the time. They're like, come back in March, but hey, check this out. Now, now here's the only quote bright side I could see is maybe the Dark Detective doesn't sell your 160 copies over 2 months. Maybe it only sells half of that, but you pick up a couple of other titles that You know what I mean? Like, where maybe I'm not reading Superman as much, but now I'm going to be reading whatever Dark Universe or whatever it is he has.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm spitballing here big time, but.
I just feel like they had done I feel like they're trying to salvage work that's already done. You know, like they had these plans for 5G in place, and I feel like this is a lot of that work that was done for that. That they don't want to completely scrap. And I can appreciate that. But it shouldn't come at the cost of Batman or... what. Like, if you want to suspend 80% of your lineup for 2 months, go right ahead. But keep Batman coming. Because really, honestly, Batman... all DC is Batman anyways, you know. It's the only title that really sells any...
That's what makes me think they're trying to jumpstart the rest of it. You know, like, get people to look. Okay, we're going to take 2 months off from this Batman, which is 4 issues. And then we're going to come back with, you know, we'll be excited in March for the first issue of Batman, of course. But maybe we will be exposed to some new stuff at DC that we're like, hey, this is pretty cool, where maybe we never would have picked it up in the first place.
Well, right. But then it doesn't go anywhere. Like, it doesn't do anything to increase my sales of Wonder Woman in March.
Right.
You know? Because if you love the Wonder Woman that you have in Future State, well, she's going to be gone. It's not the Wonder Woman you're going to get when March comes around.
The future is over.
Exactly. So it's kind of, I don't see where that's really garnering new readers to their existing lineup. It might, and honestly, I don't think it's even a shot in the arm. Like I was going to say, it might be a shot in the arm for their circulation for those 2 months, but I don't think any of these titles are going to sell as many copies as the originals already do.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be super negative about it.
No,
one, because I need
feel
to sell
the same
this
as
stuff.
You. I do.
I mean, I want it to be successful in terms of, you know, I want to capitalize on my sales in January and February, which are months that are already tough anyways.
Right.
I want to put a positive spin on it. I just can't see what they're doing. Like, I just don't understand anything they're doing over there, you know?
So we're kind of only going to get to, like, Batman 105, right?
Probably, yeah. Whatever's...
two in each week.
Yeah, we're at 101. This will be the end of...
this is the last one.
Yeah, we'll get two...
month.
Right, we'll get two in November and two in December. So, yeah, probably 105. And again, it's not going away. Like 106 will pop up in March, but, you know, everything's just on pause. Like you said,
right.
It's like a big commercial or an intermission. It's like the halftime. It's the halftime show, you know. But it's like nobody wants to see Adam Lambert with his shirt off. You know, we just want to get back to the football game. You know,
exactly.
we don't want any wardrobe malfunctions in the middle of our comics. we just want our comics.
Exactly. So well, all right.
I don't need to see Janet Jackson's boob anymore.
Oof.
You know,
that was in what, like 2003 or something.
That was a long time ago.
That was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Poor Justin.
I know.
All right, let's move on to happier talk.
Yeah, so
this wardrobe malfunction stuff.
Yeah.
Enough about
this
pants.
Is not necessarily in our wheelhouse, but I like this show, so I'm going to bring it up. Dexter is getting a revival on Showtime. I don't know if you watched Dexter, but
Jen and I did. I think we did 4 seasons.
Dexter.
How many seasons were there?
Oh, like 8.
Yeah.
8 or 9. It went for a while.
Yeah, so this actually makes us... Jen and I were talking about it, and I know this isn't our wheelhouse, but hey, what the heck. We were saying, like, oh, maybe we'll get back into watching the show because this is coming out. It's like we fell off for whatever reason, but that was one of those shows that we really enjoyed. And
yeah, Dexter was really good. Now, again, over its lifetime, it had its ups and downs.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't end, you know, again, it didn't finish as strong as it started. And it actually goes down as one of the worst series finales ever. Like, it was really bad.
Yeah, I know what it is.
this is their opportunity to redo it. And I
totally redeem themselves.
If you read the and I did read the article on this, and you know, the showrunner is like, this is our chance to redo it, to have a new ending. They're not going to erase what happened in the finale. They're going to pick up where it left off, but this is their chance to end the show the way they wanted to. And, you know, Michael C. Hall and the original showrunner are both back on board. I don't know of any other returning cast members, but, you know, really, it's Dexter. I mean, it's really all it's about. So, like I said, it's not really in our wheelhouse, but this is a show that I really liked. So I was really excited to see this coming back. Like, I'll sign up for Showtime when it comes on because I don't have it just to watch this.
This might actually get Jen and I to sign up for Showtime now to start watching now.
It may live on Netflix. I don't know.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
I haven't looked for Dexter in a while. It may be on Netflix because I know Showtime, like Shameless, goes to Netflix every year. So Showtime does let things kind of off of their platform. So it may be there. But right. Yeah, if not, I'm sure it lives on Showtime on demand. And you know. But yeah, it's a long haul. I was thinking the same thing. I might want to go back and at least watch the final season just to get a you know, I mean, I kind of remember what happened, but it's really vague. Like, it's been off the air for 10 years or more. So
has it really?
I think so. Wow. Yeah, I think it's been a while.
Yeah.
Since that show ended.
Yeah, because we were watching it and the kids were real little. And this was like our naughty time. Because that's a crazy show when you got little kids in the house.
It is, yeah.
You know, definitely, so we were like, after kids the kids to bed have gone and to bed. We'll watch an adult show. Woo!
Right. I've had enough Barney. I'm going to watch a serial killer.
Exactly.
All right, so...
So where did you hear about this Tatiana?
Yeah, so Tatiana Maslany. So we might not have our She-Hulk after all.
Why not?
Well, because she says it's not true. Tatiana Maslany was doing an interview for an English TV show, and they asked her about this, and she denies it. She says that this is a rumor and a headline that is not true. And it's something that, you know, it was like in a headline that kind of got out of control, and she denies it. Now, this could all still be a ploy because...
Bargaining?
Yeah, it could be a bargaining chip on her part with Disney, or it could just be that Disney has not given her the okay to let the news out there. But she pretty much came right out and said that it's not true, and she hasn't been cast as She-Hulk. So...
IMDb still has her listed. It says announced. So,
it's on
the internet. It must be true.
Well, and Paul Rudd famously denied being Ant-Man several times before the announcement that he was.
Right. And we still haven't gotten confirmation on that, but.
Right. I mean, we don't know for sure if he's going to be Ant-Man or not. So there could be some, you know, again, and we talk a lot of rumor on this show, and
we
take things as fact, but I mean, there was a lot of credence led to this because even Mark Ruffalo congratulated her for being the She-Hulk. So it wasn't like one of those things where it was like, we got this covered, said she's the She-Hulk and that was that. Like, it seemed to be a done deal. So it was a surprise when I read this. But it broke several places. Like, it was on several social media sites, and I even heard it on a couple of podcasts, different podcasts that I listened to. Now, again, all of those are also unsubstantiated sources, so who knows? But as far as we know at this point, she's denying the role. So,
all right.
So yeah, I don't know. It's disappointing if it's not true because, you know, I was a big fan of her being She-Hulk. But,
yeah, you were. I was surprised that you had that down there. I hadn't heard that, but we'll see.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see.
She wants more
couple
money.
Maybe. Again, maybe it's a bargaining tactic on her end with Disney. So, couple show renewals. We have Lock and Key was renewed for season 3. ahead of its season 2 release, which hasn't come out yet, and really has no date. We don't even know when we're getting season 2.
Right.
So I was surprised to see that season 3 was already renewed. Especially since season 1 exhausted the entire library of graphic novels.
I know.
They gave you the
cliff notes of the entire right. thing.
So like, I don't even know horrible. What season 2 and season 3 are going to what material they're going to have.
I'm telling you, the executives again, now are I was, sitting around like Oprah, like, you get a season, you get a season. Yeah.
I liked it a lot more than you did, so I'm excited for this. But again, they used all of the material in season 1. So
right.
I just don't know where they're going. I mean, wherever they go now, it's off book. You know, it's just, you know, hopefully. And maybe that makes it better for you, because the writers will be writing maybe a more coherent season
right.
from scratch, as opposed to, you know, what you got in season 1, which was really just a condensed version of the material that was already out there.
All of it.
Like I said, I liked it quite a bit more than you. So,
I can't remember if I didn't like the show because of the books or I just flat out didn't like the show. I think the books affected me. The fact that it had no
I don't know how much of it you had read at the time. I hadn't read any of it until after I watched the show. So, like, I went into the show pretty much blind. Well, no, I take it back. I had read the first graphic novel.
That's what I think I did, too.
But I didn't read all the rest of them. I just remember that when I got finished reading all the graphic novels, I was like, all of this took place in season 1.
So, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going for there. But yeah, that's coming, so that should be good. Star Trek Discovery was renewed for season 4, which is great. Season 3 premiere dropped last Thursday. I got a chance to watch that. It looks really good. You know, again, I think it's a great show, so I'm always down for more. But I guess the premiere did well enough that they're already greenlighting a fourth season.
Again, just handing them out.
Yep. Oprah's still hard at work. All right. We talked last week about the Disney Plus and how they had like a curated viewing order for the MCU movies. So they announced this week that they're basically going to be doing the same thing with The Simpsons. And they have I don't even know what to call it, but it's called Simpsons Forever. And it is going to be curated lists of episodes of The Simpsons that relate in certain topics or themes. So the first one that's going to be available is like the Treehouse of Horror, obviously, you know, to go along with Halloween. And there's like every Halloween-themed episode they've done over their history are going to be curated into one playlist
right.
where you can watch all of those together without having to search for them. And again, I just thought this was relevant because we talked last week about, well, maybe they'll do that with other things besides Marvel. Maybe they'll do it with the Clone Wars. And,
yeah.
It looks like this may be something that they do. And I think this is awesome, and I wish more services would implement things like this.
So you know who is doing it? Boomerang. Remember I've told you that cartoon one? Yeah, so if you go on Boomerang, they have playlists that they've already made up, and like for this month you click on the Halloween one. There's actually a couple of them, and they'll play all the Halloween episodes from Scooby-Doo, Jetsons, Flintstones.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's like, and going forward, we'll get the same thing for Thanksgiving and the holidays and all of that. And I think they are doing that. It's a way to obviously get your eyeballs back onto their service in a fresh way, and you can mix it up all the time.
But again, something like The Simpsons. I mean, that is so daunting. Like, if I want to watch The Simpsons, I don't even know what it is anymore. Like, 380 seasons of The Simpsons.
Seasons.
And, you know, it's just like, it would take your whole life to watch all those episodes. Right. So, to be
it's
able
like
to go in and
to
say,
read The Walking Dead again. 32
exactly.
years.
Exactly. It's like 17 years to read that. So, So yeah, I just think that's really cool that they're thinking of these things. And, you know, cause again, if you want to watch them all in order from season one to current, it's there. But if you want to just watch all the Halloween episodes, it's there. And they're going to do, I'm sure maybe they'll do like the election episodes or whatever when it comes to November. And I'm sure they've talked about elections many times over their 30-year history or whatever. So, I just hope they keep doing more stuff like this. Like, I'm really now, not that I'm going to watch the Clone Wars again tomorrow.
No.
But, like, I'm really looking to see them do that where
right.
they throw that thing out there in chronological order and, you know, and make it easy for people to be able to watch that stuff. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was really awesome.
That actually has me excited for stuff like going on and just throwing on The Simpsons and watching some, you know, Halloween episodes. That'd be a fun night. You know, you got nothing.
Exactly.
And what are they, 20 minutes each?
Probably. Yeah, 22 minutes, I think, a cartoon runs.
Yeah. That'd be fun. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we talked, I don't know, when a month and a half ago or so when the DC Fandome was on. And we talked about the Static Shock panel or the Millennium Comics panel and how they were teasing a Static Shock project in the future. Well, it looks like they've made their announcement. Michael B. Jordan is set to produce and I'm sure play some kind of role in a live action Static Shock movie. So I think that's really cool. You know, it's a character that, you know, not a lot of people, are familiar with, but it just, to me, it just shows their willingness to, you know, like with Marvel and go with, you know, your Guardians of the Galaxy or your Ant-Mans and things like that. And, you know, it doesn't have to be Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman. Like they're okay going with lesser known characters and properties and trying to bring that stuff out there. So, and I think there's a built-in audience for, you know, again, more black superheroes to show up on the large screen. So,
yeah,
again, if we have a big screen for it to show up on, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But either way, you know,
fingers crossed,
maybe,
John.
Maybe it goes to HBO Max or what have you. But yeah, I think that's really cool. So, definitely. Now, again, we're just in the announcement stage, so we're years away from seeing this.
I think that's what 2020 is going to go down as, is the announcement
year. Yeah.
It's like, you know, when all these movies come out, announced back in, you guessed it, 2020.
Right. It's like, right.
Yes, I know it's Comic-Con, 2035.
So, yeah. So we're just going to throw everything out there now.
Right.
And then the last but not least, again, this is confirmation of something that was rumored a while back, but it looks like Disney Plus has officially ordered a Willow sequel series, with Warwick Davis set to reprise his role as Willow. So that's cool. I hadn't seen Willow in a long time, so when I got Disney Plus, I watched it.
Oh, yeah?
I watched it a few yet. Yeah, I watched it a few months ago. Yeah, it's really cool. No word yet on Val Kilmer reprising his role. I don't know if you've seen Val Kilmer lately, but he doesn't look like he's down
to
play Mad Mardigan.
He's supposed to be in the new Top Gun.
Again, anytime soon. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's actually one of our listeners met him at one of the Connecticut cons.
Yeah.
And, super sweet Pete. Our buddy Pete. Yeah. So when I ran into him down there, he was actually there to get his stuff signed by him. He had a Tombstone poster.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's pretty cool. He showed me the poster, showed me the signature. He said something like, I'll be a Huckleberry, whatever.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
one of my favorite movies ever.
but he said meeting him was like he's in rough shape. Like he
That's
had
what I'm saying.
Issues.
I don't know when the last time you saw him was, but he looks really bad.
Rough. Yeah.
Yeah, really bad.
So. I don't know if those have cleared up because I know he's supposed to be in Top Gun, but maybe he's, I don't know, in the hospital? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know how they cast him, but I know, I'm pretty sure Iceman's supposed to be in the new Top Gun, which we will be getting at some time before 2030.
Yeah, yeah.
Seen yeah. on well, the like big said, screen.
He doesn't look like he's not in Mad Mardigan shape, so we'll have to see what happens there. But yeah, like I said, that was a cool movie. So, and I think Ron Howard is attached also to be part of this.
Yeah, because he did the directed the first one.
He did
one,
the movie, yeah.
Didn't he?
Did the movie.
So I think he might be directing this one as well,
or something. Or at least producing it.
Yeah.
Maybe his daughter will direct a few episodes or something. So that'd be cool. And that's, I mean, as far as news, that's all I have.
So. That's all you got? All right.
That's it.
All right. Well, I got a couple of things
here. I know I
was
slacking this week, but.
I got a couple of things here. So, okay. John, I don't know. You go on Twitter and sometimes people are just slinging stuff around and, you know, it's just so negative, but sometimes you get gems like, you know, gems like this.
No problem with nerds. I just don't like dorks. A dork tries to be everything to everybody. You can't really trust them.
Yep. Uh-huh.
I know some nerds that are real cool. I know some very cool nerds. But I'm not a fan of dork. Give me an
language
asshole before you give me a dork. At least I know where the
language
asshole stands. Got no problem with nerds.
Proud members of the Nerdy Legion.
Yeah.
Isn't that too funny?
That was great. Well, you know. You gotta love Matthew. You gotta love McConaughey.
Oh my God, that was on. What was that on? It was on.
I don't know. So it looked like he was doing a podcast for something.
Yeah,
but.
It was on. It was tweeted out by PFT commenter.
Uh huh.
Something like that. I saw it off that, and yeah, it's he was. Oh, pardon my take. He was on Pardon My Take, and they were interviewing him. The guys are sitting there, and then that was just him, and he's talking about, like, it's like people have done that for ages, but I mean, I've never really heard it put that way. It's like you specified dork to nerd, and it's like I guess he's kind of right, because dork is like what covers everything, and then the nerd is like you're like I say in my other podcast, like home theater nerd, so. You specify to what you're at, right?
It's a subclass.
Yeah. It's like we're comic book nerds or we're home theater nerds or, but the dork is like, that's the big umbrella. It's like, right. Something like that. It was just so funny to hear him say it. I was cracking up. But,
that was pretty funny.
That's why we're in the Nerdy Legion.
Yep.
You know?
And not the dork Gooniverse.
Yeah.
Throw in some shade.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. All right.
Low-key shade coming at you.
Speaking of the Dork Gooniverse, Dr. Joe last week talking on Change My Mind podcast, which hosts their TLDR. He was talking about the Devil's Red Bride.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually liked it. And I was listening to him.
No accounting for taste.
No. But it was cool listening to him because he reads Yasagi.
Did he change your mind?
It didn't change my mind. But I did say, like, I don't know if I said it on there, like, because I was, I don't know if I texted him later or if I said it during his podcast, if I wrote, because you can interact on it on Twitch.
Right.
But I had said, I'm like, oh, we got to meet for a beer and talk over this, because the way he was talking about it, like, he really enjoyed it and really liked, like, the Japanese samurai Ronin culture part of it.
Well, and he's a big fan of
Usagi Yojimbo,
right? So, and this had some definite vibes. You know, because again, it's all the Japanese. Yeah. It's all the same.
And that's exactly what he said. He's culture. Like, I don't want to compare the two, but it had the same kind of vibe, and he really enjoyed that. And, you know, like, and even he said, he goes, I'm not sure how far I'm going to go with it, but he liked it more than we did. And it was cool to have that counterpoint.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I mean, it's very rare that we both don't like something or so. And I don't even think we said we didn't like it that much. Like, hate it. We didn't hate it.
Oh, I did. I didn't hate it.
Exactly.
But I didn't like it. Like, right. I really didn't enjoy it.
But it wasn't the worst thing we've ever read, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no. Right. No, by far. I mean, I read Superman Year One, so.
I tried to like that. I did my best. That's why I'm called Pretzel, for God's sakes.
I know.
But yeah, that was pretty cool. So it's cool having that back and forth and having a little bit of contrast there. That was cool. So check them out at TLDR on Dr. Joe's Twitch stream and on Change My Mind podcast. But the other one is Dr. Joe tweeted out earlier today. Did you see that about Quibi? I think it is.
I did. Yeah.
And a lot of people are going back and forth talking about how, like, well, it was crap and it didn't, you know, it was never going to do well. And I'm like, they didn't. I don't think a lot of people even, it never got off the ground.
It didn't. Now, I have no skin in this game because I never even downloaded it. I've never watched a single minute of it. I do know that it was never going to be for me, though. Like, that is just not the way I want to consume my media. So I don't know how ill-conceived it is, though, because, like you said, it really didn't get a chance to get its feet off the ground because of the, you know, just the timing of it.
Yeah. Well, I started off with the first show that I started off with was Most Dangerous Game, and it's got Liam Hemsworth, Christoph Waltz, and it's like it was really good.
They had a lot of big names attached they to did. Projects.
Yes. Yeah, a bunch of different projects, a bunch of very interesting projects. The problem was it started literally right when the pandemic hit. So the entire app was meant for you watching these shows on your phone, and that was it. It was a 7-minute show. And then the next day you'd get 7 more minutes. And the idea was like water cooler talk. It's like, oh, did you see today's? And you could watch it at work on your phone, sneak it, or your lunch break.
Well, it was supposed to be your lunch break or your smoke break or whatever. Quibi is quick bites. That's what it stands for.
Right.
And that's what it was supposed to be. And I mean, it's okay in theory, I guess. Like I said, it was, I don't think it was ever going to be for me. Like I said, I don't want to consume my media that way.
Right.
I would much rather wait for the show to be done and sit down and put in the 70 minutes it would take to watch all 10 episodes or whatever. But, like I don't know if it would have been successful in another time. We'll never know because
at a time an app that comes out that's meant for people on the go, people, you know, always moving, always on the go, the whole world was told to sit tight.
Right.
And the last thing you want to do is sit home and watch 7 minutes on your phone. No, people were absorbing everything on, you know, their TVs. So it never really got off the ground, never had a chance. And I mean, like I said, I'm not saying it was going to make it. I'm not, but it never had.
I don't know
it
if
never
it
had
would,
a chance. You just don't know.
If it was a good idea or not. I really don't know if it is. But we'll never know for sure because it just didn't get a, like I said, it didn't really get a fair shake. But I read some of those tweets and, you know, I think some of the points about the advertising and all that were valid. Like it was not very well done, I don't think, but
I got the gist of it. I liked it.
Yeah.
You know, the advertising grabbed me. I tried it out and I enjoyed it. I ended up dumping it when I was stuck at home or I was so busy at work I couldn't watch it, but it did start at a time when I was at work and it's cold and, you know, I can click on it, watch a show and then go paint some more, something like that.
But, right.
But who knows? Oh, well. Let's see. Anything else?
No, I don't have any other news or anything.
All right. Let's get into some comics. You ready?
Sure.
All right, John. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
A bunch of variant covers, looks like. The whole thing this week is ratio variants. Starting with Batman 101, we have the 1 in 25, the design variant. This one's going for between $30 and $40, so not quite double ratio, but it's in the ballpark of the last several of these. I think ever since the Joker War issues, they've done a 1 in 25 variant for every issue since like the first Joker War issues. And they've all been these design variants, and you know they all kind of are going for about the same money. So, yeah, if you can grab one of those, Might be worth picking that up.
Cool.
We also had Dark Knight's Death Metal Robin King, number one. This has its 1 in 25 variant, also selling pretty steady at $40. So another one to grab if you can. Juggernaut number two has a 1 in 25 variant selling for about $30. So that's pretty close to ratio on that one. Okay. This is a big one. Something is Killing the Children, number 11. There's a 1 in 100 variant for this that's selling for about $170. Anything below that price point is already gone from eBay. You won't find anything less. So that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
For that. Now, again, there's obviously big retailers out there, like, you know, your Midtowns and stuff. But, like, not a lot of stores are selling 100 copies a month of this.
No.
So there's probably not a ton of these that you're going to be able to go out and find. But, you know, if you can come across one for less than $170, it's worth grabbing. One that should be a little bit easier to get a hold of is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 110. Had a 1 in 10 variant that's selling for about $25. This issue is also the first appearance of a new group called the Roadhogs, so even the main cover could see some interest if this, you know, if this team or group catches on.
Gang.
Yeah, gang. The gang. Cycle gang. it's like the Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. yeah, Road just Hogs. Like them.
Yeah. Venom 29. The 1 in 25 variant for this is selling for between $30 and $35. At the moment, I would expect this to probably go up because the Venom titles are constantly in demand and going up. And these issues now are leading directly into the King in Black event that's coming up in December. So there's going to be a lot of introductions of characters and events over the next couple of issues. So no telling what might happen here. And then this one is a little bit surprising. Werewolf by Night, issue number one. There's a 1 in 50 variant for this that's selling for about $90.
Ooh.
And a 1 in 100 variant that's selling for up to $160. So I didn't know there was that many Werewolf by Night fans out there. And, you know, again, these are your bigger retailers that are ordering quantities of 50 and 100 of this title. Because this is definitely not one of the Keystone Marvel titles. So,
I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
So
it came out today. And again, this is a, you know, a revival of a 70s title from Marvel called Werewolf by Night. So, you know, character's been around for a long time, but he's also been pretty, I guess he's been hibernating for the last 40 years. I don't know if werewolves hibernate, but I guess there hasn't been a full moon in a long time.
Right.
Because
just monthly.
Yeah. There hasn't been a Werewolf by Night appearance.
Sighting
in years.
Yeah. I didn't even know it came out today. I didn't see it on the shelf.
Well, you know, again, I don't know. I ordered like 6 copies, I think, across 2 different covers. So it's not something that I went super deep on. So I was never going to come anywhere near 50 or 100 copies of this.
No.
So. And as far as that's it for FOC, I mean, not for FOC, for Speculator Books.
All right.
This week.
Let's get into back issue bonus.
Yeah. So first book we're going to look at is Justice League number 50. This is from the New 52, the last issue of the New 52 run. And this is where we had the introduction of the three Jokers. So obviously, you know, three Jokers is relevant right now with the miniseries out there. So this one's got a lot of interest. And then, in addition, this is also the first appearance of Jessica Cruz, Green Lantern. And we neglected to talk about this last week, but HBO Max announced kind of the lineup for their live-action Green Lantern series that they're going to be working on.
They did?
And, yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, they did. So.
What's his name? From Arrow?
No. No. Well, not, I mean, they didn't say anything about him yet. They more talked about the characters that were going to be used. And notably absent are like the big two, which is Hal Jordan and John Stewart.
Right.
Neither one of them look like they're going to be part of this show. You've got Guy Gardner and Jessica Cruz and Alan Scott Green Lantern, who's the Golden Age Green Lantern. Simon Baz, I think, is also supposed to be. So there's going to be a lot of the Green Lanterns involved. And they didn't necessarily rule out Hal Jordan or John Stewart, but they were not present in this announcement. So
they must be holding off on that, because I know I will be shocked if David Ramsey isn't in this. Because when Arrow ended...
Oh, I know. I know what they did, but I don't think there's...
No, but even his interviews afterwards, he wasn't... Yeah. He was saying, like... What did he say? Like, I'm not allowed to comment.
Right.
Which is, like, that's almost like a... I don't know. That's almost like a confirmation. Because right. Otherwise, you'd be like, no. You know, it's just...
I mean, it's a Berlanti show, so...
Right.
You know, there's obviously a relationship there. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I would love to see him as John Stewart, but
yeah.
And you know, of course his name was John Stewart.
Exactly. Never mind all the little Easter eggs in the show, and right. And the ending wasn't even an Easter egg. That was
no,
just
it was
flat
pretty
out.
Much flat out he got the ring. But yeah, we'll see. It seems like they're maybe saving their big guns for theatrical releases and going with some of the lesser
well
known
is
Green
Ramsey
Lanterns.
A big gun?
No, but John Stewart is, and Hal Jordan is, you know,
right?
I mean, those are the big green, you know, those are the Green Lanterns.
Well, yeah, that's your big guns with. Right there. Your yeah. You know, David Ramsey and
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they're on equal ground, right?
Yeah, I think. I mean, they're both as famous, I think. All right. So,
sorry, David Ramsey, if you listen.
Yeah, I know. It's like I tried, man. I tried. From last week, we had Star Wars Darth Vader #6. This is the first appearance of Ochi of Bestoon. I don't know if you got a chance to read this, but the character looks like he's going to be important going forward. That was actually a really good issue of our.
Yeah, I haven't read that one yet.
It's really good.
We have another tangent here, though. Go ahead, finish with Star Wars.
Well, I was just to say this is selling for between $10 and $12. So,
did you hear that? I think it's Disney Plus is going to be doing a Vader series. There's rumors of that with Hayden Christensen coming back, and they're going to be running. This was on Comic Talk today.
Okay.
I believe I
heard
it today, as a matter of fact. He was talking about it, and the rumor is that it's Hayden Christensen, but they're not 100% sure on that. And they're going to be running off of the original, not the original, but the comic book series, not this one, but the previous one. That came out a few years ago, so that's but Disney Plus series on Darth Vader.
I haven't seen that rumor. I mean, every character from the original trilogy has been rumored at one point to get their own show. So
right,
we'll see. I don't know why anybody has to play Darth Vader. Like, I don't know why it matters though, because if it's Darth Vader, it's
right.
It's Darth Vader. It's the costume, so you're not going to see anybody's face. Anybody can be in the mask. So I don't know that they would pay Hayden. Well, not that Hayden Christensen is probably commanding like giant salaries at this point.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they would need to cast him.
Do you know
to
how
be
great
Vader.
A Vader series would be, though?
Oh, it would be fantastic.
It would probably be the top series of everything, because if they could do a live action series and flesh out how evil he was, the stuff, the little bits we got in Clone Wars. Of him, it's like, because the movies don't do his character justice.
No, they don't.
Right?
Not at all. You get more of that through
comics,
like comics
a bit,
and
Clone Wars,
Wars
a little bit.
Right? And Even Rogue One, at the end of Rogue One, you got that scene with Vader.
Right, but imagine an entire series dedicated to that, like, that's yeah, based off of that scene. People would go nuts for it.
Again, read issue 6 of Darth Vader. And, okay. Like, it's awesome. And like, but yeah. I'm saying, like, tell me that wouldn't be great to explore.
All of this stuff would be. That's what I mean. So, it's like he's such – people love dark characters, and that's why they were talking about this last week on TLDR. They were saying how most people don't like Superman anymore, and everybody loves Batman. They love the darker characters, and the bright character, the you know, like a Superman, it's just, okay. Yeah, he's a great guy.
That's why
Let's move on.
Right, that's why we have Batman. And we have the boys, and we have the Punisher, and we have, you know what I mean? That's why we have these properties, because people want the flawed characters. Like, Superman is such an ideal.
Right.
Like, such, you know, and a standard that's impossible to live up to.
Well, look at what Zdarsky's done with Daredevil, and how flawed he is, and how conflicted he is, and it's like, it's such a great, people love that. They love that, you know, that high dynamic of a character that they're trying to do good, but they're, you know, and Vader is just the exact opposite. It's just all evil in, but you knew it was a little kid. You knew, you know, especially now with the, it'd be such an unreal series that I think it would blow everything away. I mean, it would be must, especially here at Arkham Comics and Games.
Exactly.
So, all right, another nice tangent. Moving back on, sorry.
It's okay. Also from last week, we had the Immortal Hulk number 38. This is the spoiler variant cover. It's selling for between $7 and $12. So jumped up a little bit since last week.
Cool.
And then last but not least, Static issue number 1. So, you know, again, we know why. Yeah, we just talked about it. But the character's kind of been picking up steam for a while, ever since even the DC fandom and the news that, you know, this was a property that was coming back. So this is, selling for about $60. This is obviously the first appearance of Static. And then there's, from the New 52, there's issue number 1 of the Static Shock series, and that's jumped up to about $25. So, expect to see these continue to rise as more news, you know, about this project comes to fruition. So, I think now's the time to get in on them, even though they're still at $60 is not cheap, but, you know, this could be a $200 book next year, or I don't know, in 2030, whenever the movie comes out. So, and that's it for back issue bonus.
Alrighty, let's get into this week's FOC, and we got some cool covers here.
There's some cool covers. This is kind of a short FOC, but we start off from Dark Horse. This is a re-solicit, because we've talked about this before. This is a book called Barbalian Red Planet, number 1. Again, this spins out of the Black Hammer universe from Dark Horse. So if you're a fan of that that universe or that series, this is a character that you're familiar with and,
not at all
book that you want to read. Yeah, I am. I've read all the Black Hammer and I really like it.
Okay.
So, it's cool.
I recognize Jeff Lemire, but
he's the Martian Manhunter of the Black Hammer universe. So this is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. There's 2 covers for this. From DC, we have Batman 103, Francesco Mattina variant cover. Definitely my favorite cover of
the week.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Awesome cover.
Yeah, really, really nice. That was really the only variant cover that was good this week from DC, though. Usually they have a bunch, but most of the other ones didn't grab me.
The next one's pretty good. This one blows everything away, though.
Yeah,
this
is the series, though. I didn't pick this as a variant cover, but
back to the Batman one. What's that character's name? Ghost? I forget. It was just in Batman.
Ghostmaker, I think. I haven't read 101 yet, so I don't remember.
Yeah, he's not really in it. They just say his name.
But. Yeah, and then it's a big Harley Quinn cover.
Yes.
So looks great. Yeah, it looks really cool. But yeah, and then
Yeah, the other history.
Yeah, the other history of the DC Universe, number one. This is a Black Label series from DC, obviously. Yeah. It's going to be 5 issues with 2 covers. This is a pretty cool cover, too. This is the main cover.
Yeah, Black Lightning.
Black Lightning on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good. I haven't gotten to it yet. I do have an advanced copy of this. I haven't got around to reading it yet, so I don't know what this is about, but looks like it should be interesting. That's it from DC. From IDW, there's a book called Sea of Sorrows. This is issue 1 of 5, and there's only 1 cover for that.
Very interesting, very spacey.
Yeah. I can't glean a whole lot from the cover. I don't really know what this is about, but it's there. All right, from Marvel, we have a variant cover for Amazing Spider-Man 53, Umberto Ramos cover. And then
is that this one? Because you didn't have that one up on your Facebook.
Oh, did I not?
Nope. Is that it?
That's it. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah,
I guess
it wasn't up on Facebook.
It.
I had to go to Previews World to get it.
Yeah, that's it, though.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And then Spider-Woman number 6, Todd Knock. This is
like the Spider-Woman one.
Yeah, the headshot variants.
Yeah.
There's going to be a whole series of those. Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool cover.
Yep.
And then new series. Actually, these are all one-shots from Marvel. There's Marvel Voices Indigenous Voices Special. And there's multiple covers for this. Symbiote Spider-Man King in Black. This is actually the very first tie-in to kick off the King in Black event. There's multiple covers for that. And then Widowmakers. This is a long title. Widowmakers Red Guardian Yelena Belova. And there's multiple covers for this.
Yep.
Again, I have to think the timing for this was expecting a movie to be in the theaters right now. If it's not. So,
you think?
Yeah. And then from Vault Comics, there's a book called Dark Interlude, issue 1.
Ooh.
And there's multiple covers there. I did read that earlier today.
Oh, yeah?
Little on the fence. I'm not sure where this one's going to go, but it seems interesting, so might be worth taking a look at when it comes out in a few weeks.
All right.
And that is it for FOC, so pretty quick this week.
Yeah, pretty quick, but that Batman 103.
Yeah, that's really
fantastic. Yeah. All right, let's get into checkout. And I'm really interested in this first one. I bought it, but I didn't read it because I just couldn't. I got to a bunch of other stuff today, and the whole idea of it didn't grab me. I'm going to read it, but maybe I want to see what you have to say.
Yeah. So this is, from Boom Studios. It's Dune House Atreides, issue 1 of 12. So this is obviously part of the Dune universe.
Right.
This is a prequel series to the book Dune, which, has been adapted into a couple of movies. There's one from the...
And then the one that's coming out. Yeah.
From the 90s. And then there's one that was coming out at Christmas time and now isn't coming out until next year. So I am completely blind when it comes to this. I've never read any of the books and I've never seen the movie. So I don't know anything about Dune at all. I read this hoping that it was going to be a setup for the movie that I'll get to see eventually. And it is a book that has long been on my list of things to get to read eventually. I've just never gotten to it. I actually bought it. I have a copy of it on my Kindle. I just haven't read it. So I don't know who any of these characters are, but I was thinking that since this is a prequel, I wouldn't need to know. And I guess you probably don't, but I don't know. I had a hard time getting super invested in this.
That's why I didn't pick it up.
Yeah, I really didn't love it. I read the whole thing, and I don't know if I'm on board for 12 issues of this. That's the problem. I do still want to see the movie, so I don't know,
right?
Like, if this is going to have information that would be beneficial to have when you get to it. But yeah, I don't know. It fell a little flat for me. You know, maybe if I knew more, like maybe if I was invested in who these characters were,
right,
through the books or the novels, I would care more. But I just found myself not really caring all that much as I read it. It's not written badly. It's the art is fine. Like there's nothing inherently wrong with it. It just, like I said, I don't know. I couldn't find a way to care about any of the characters at all. So, I don't know.
We're going to need to get some feedback. I think
Nick Wetmore
over at Nerdy Legion podcast, he's a big Dune fan. I think he's read the books. He loves the movies.
Right.
I'm not super invested either. So I was hoping, like you, I was hoping that maybe this would get you going in it, and it doesn't sound it. I picked the book up. I love the art of the book.
Yeah, like you said, it looked good.
It looked good.
Yeah.
But I still, it was like, it looked heavy, and I don't mean the weight of the book itself, but it looked like very informative and stuff. And I was like, I'm just not in the mood for this right now. So that's why I didn't pick it up today.
Yeah, I mean, there was no white pages. So, I mean,
no.
It has that going for it.
Right.
But, yeah. But it was, yeah, it was a pretty beefy read. Like, it was pretty long.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was a lot here for this issue. It was a bit oversized. So, I mean, you get your money's worth with it. even the quality, I it's heavy. Well, I mean, if you liked it, I guess. But I mean, it wasn't a 5-minute read. Let's put it that way. Like, you got some time with it. The quality was great. I mean, it's real heavy stock. The paper feels great. Like, everything about it was quality.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know. It didn't do it for me.
I got the real nut. I think it's the variant cover, the heavy variant cover with the, it's like cut out. So you
get
the art behind it. It was really nice. I love the cover. I love the book. I was hoping you would have been really excited about it, and then I would have been excited to pick it up. But
I was wanting to be.
Yes.
I was wanting to be.
That's the worst, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, wah, wah.
Yeah, because I really was excited for this. Because, again, it's one of those things I've always wanted to get into. Like, I've
right.
wanted to get into the world of Dune, and I just never have.
Right.
So, because it's a thick read. Like, it's a big read. Like, the novel is huge, and it's just like, oh, I'll get to it one of these days, and I just
I've heard Nick talking about it on Nerdy Legion, and he goes so in depth, and he just loves the story and all the.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it almost made me feel like I don't even think I deserve to see the movie yet. I'm not that invested,
right?
I was like, am I allowed?
Right. I haven't earned it yet.
Exactly. It's because the first one was in the 80s.
Right.
I don't know. But this is kind of where I went with my first book this week, and it's Grendel, Kentucky, AWA Studios, of course, had to pick it up. It's a number one. Writer Jeff McComsey, and art by Tommy Lee Edwards. That one's easy to pronounce.
Yeah, so just to throw it out there before you get into it, this wasn't new.
It wasn't? When was this?
About a month. Issue 2's already out.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah,
so this, I missed it.
Yeah, this came out about 5 weeks ago. Issue 2 came out last week. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because,
I mean,
I wonder if they
your store is set. Yeah, well, it's
just
kind of the difficulties of their,
their
how they're set
up
right now.
I missed it. So,
but yeah, this was not a new book.
Did you read it?
I did read it.
What did you say? Well, let me tell you what I thought first.
Yeah.
Very slow start is what I have at the beginning. I thought it was a slow start, but that's how slow it was. It was a month ago.
Yeah.
So I'm slow. But no, I was excited for this, and because it's AWA, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a slow start, and then about two-thirds of the way into the book, it kind of picked up from there. It's like the beginning, I didn't really – the characters I wasn't grabbed by.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end of the book, I liked the storytelling because where I wasn't grabbed at the beginning, the way the story went, like I said, two thirds of the way in or so, you harken back to the early part of the book and you start, you know, you've got a rapport with the characters, and I kind of liked where it went. It was a quick read. And then by the end, I do want to see 2, which you said is out now. So
yes, 2 is out now.
What did you think?
I didn't finish it.
The book?
So, yeah, I didn't finish it. Yeah, this was to me the first AWA book that missed for me. Now maybe I
bet you did, because I was close. I didn't finish it.
Yeah, so I didn't get to the 2/3 and 1/2 mark or whatever.
Right, exactly.
That you got to. Yeah, I just couldn't get into it. I didn't finish it. So, so I don't know. Yeah, maybe I need to give it the rest of the way and see if it picks up. But I didn't love it.
See, I thought it same thing. It was, I would guess I would label that as dangerous storytelling, but you're right. It's like, it doesn't grab you at the beginning and you got to hang in there. And I did. So I'd be interested to see if you finish it and if you see what I'm talking about, at least, because I did like the way it ended. I did like it. It kind of all comes. It, like I said, it is a short read. So, but you're right.
Yeah, it wasn't right. It didn't take a long time.
I was very close to putting it down as well. Yeah. But it's a quick book, and I got to give AWA, you know.
Well, yeah, that's why I picked. You know, obviously, I picked it up and wanted to read it. And like I said, to me, this was the first one that I'd read by them that I just didn't get into.
Right.
So, I mean, and it's going to happen. You know.
Oh, of
I mean,
course they can't. All
I mean,
be gems.
What's his name? Dune was boom. And I didn't get into that. So,
right.
I mean, every company is going to have that. But I always get, you know, I do always want to give them the benefit of the doubt and read all their titles as they come out.
Hey, John,
they
can't all be gems. Look at last week's open for us.
I know. I know.
That was hysterical.
It was. Oh, and you just didn't cut it down at all. You just threw it up there like.
I was like, it was too funny not to. Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I was listening back to it with my wife, and I was like, oh, I guess we just left it all in.
So, I actually did cut out some of it.
Yeah.
That was hysterical.
So, yeah.
All right. Let's get into this next book. I can't wait for you to hear what you thought of this book.
Yeah. So from Image Comics, we have Scumbag Number One. written by Rick Remender.
Sounds like you're in a lineup.
Yeah.
Scumbag number one, step forward, please.
Yeah. Scumbag number two, step back.
Keep going.
Written, right. Turn to your right. Scumbag number one, turn to your left. Written by Rick Remender. Had art. I know a lot about being in a lineup, though. Maybe I know too much about being in a lineup. It's written by Rick Remender. It had art by Louis LaRosa and Moreno Denisio.
That's why I had you announce it. If I said Scumbag Number One, you would have gone, what?
Yeah. yeah, so this is pretty interesting. they don't bury the lead at all. I mean,
no.
the main character in this book is a scumbag, you know? I mean, he's like pretty much the worst guy in the world.
And they demonstrated
drug addict, alcoholic, drunk. Yes, that they, you know, went overboard and almost like too stereotypical of a scumbag. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you know, through a series of events, he finds himself injected with. Basically, like the super soldier serum, you know? And
you know what this was like?
Chuck. A little bit. Although Chuck wasn't a scumbag.
No, but it's the, it's kind of that idea.
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah. So, right. He finds himself injected. You know, obviously he's a drug addict, right? He likes to shoot things in his arm. He comes across a syringe full of, in other places. Comes across a syringe filled with basically a super soldier serum and finds himself with enhanced abilities and a connection to, I guess, headquarters, you know, like the police commissioner or whoever she was. Immediately kind of shows up. As soon as he gets the serum, she shows up because she thinks the agent that's supposed to take it has been activated. And she goes on to explain that, look, you took the serum. We need you. we need you to save the world. You know, there's a bunch.
It's like
of bad...
the worst Green Lantern story ever.
Right, there's a bunch of bad stuff getting ready to come down, and you're it. You know, and you know, of course, he's a scumbag, right? So he doesn't want to help. He starts bargaining.
His list of demands are hysterical.
He's got this giant list of demands, of what he wants, like a case of Schlitz beer. And
I can't fault them for that. I love Schlitz. That's what my grandfather drank. If I can get a hold of one, I actually do enjoy Schlitz.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of being a kid.
Right. The art was different, but I liked it.
I liked it too.
Is Rick Remender? I like Rick Remender. You know, he wrote Deadly Class among a million other things, and you know, he's a great writer. So there's a lot going here. Obviously, you know, you don't like this guy, and you're not supposed to. You know, I mean, he's not a likable character. And it did seem a little too familiar to me. You know, it's like the classic, I'm the worst guy that has to turn into the best guy to help everybody kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't know. Like, I enjoyed this book. I thought it was fun to a degree. I mean, as much as it can be fun for a guy who's, you know, shooting up drugs and grabbing girls in bars and, you know.
Right.
Being a scumbag.
I thought it was hysterical.
But it was funny.
It was fun.
He thinks his drug dealer is his best friend, and the guy can't stand him, and it's, you know.
Which is typical.
All kinds of stuff going on, and it was fun. I'm definitely going to read number two and see where this goes. I don't know how many issues this is.
Yeah.
Doesn't say, although it says part one, so I don't think it's an ongoing series. Oh, no, it says right there, new ongoing series by the writer of Deadly Class, so... to me, I don't know how far this can go. And that's, I guess, what I'd be interested to see. I can't imagine the serum doesn't wear off at some point, and like, are they going to keep giving it to him? Like, I don't know. Like,
well, is it a redemption story? Is it just a comedy throughout? Where is this going to go?
How does it go on for 100 issues? You know, I don't really know.
I don't know about 100, but.
Well, I mean, you never know. That's what ongoing is, the intent to go on forever, right?
I don't know if this guy can make it another issue.
Well, yeah, he might be dead. So.
But yeah, so, I thought it was hysterical. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the best. Well, I can't say it's the best book of the week, but I mean, it's definitely one of the, you know, books you want to pick up and read this week. I mean, it was really enjoyable. I just don't know. Like, my thought is just like, how long does this go on? You know?
Right.
I don't know how long, like, how long can you play into this character being like the hero, you know? So. We'll have to see. Obviously he's got plans for what to do. He's the writer, so.
Yep. Yeah, I'm very interested to see where this one goes.
Yeah.
You know, see how they keep this, like you said, ongoing.
Yeah. So. But yeah, definitely, it does have a Chuck feel. Like, obviously he's going to be like an espionage series. Like, he's a spy.
Or he's something. You don't know about a spy. He could be the hero. He could be the.
Well, the guy. I guess the organization that he's working for is like a spy organization or.
Right.
They're going to be out there trying to save the world every issue. So.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
We will see. All right. Is that it? You didn't read 101.
I didn't read Batman. I read, I did read some Daredevil stuff this week. No. No. Oh, I read.
That's good too.
I've been reading, I got caught up on Ten of Swords, so I read Ten of Swords, the new issues that came out.
Okay,
I've actually really been enjoying that. This was part, I think, not up to part 9 or 10 that we're at now. So I've read all of those over this last week. Really, really fun. Actually, I mean, there's still, you know, there's white pages in every issue, and that's still annoying, but the story is really. Really good and really fun. So, I don't know if you've gotten. I don't imagine you've gotten into that at all. And, you know, again, it's 22 parts. So,
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's an expensive endeavor to get in there and buy them all and read them. But it's a really good story. Really good. So I read that, and then I did read Nightwing. And then I just got caught, you know, I got caught up on some stuff. I finally read the Old Guard, Force Multiplied. So I read
those issues this week.
Yeah, so I read those. That was good.
Wasn't it? How that ended?
Story. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think that's you know, this is the second movie, right? Because I imagine this is going to be the next movie if they do another one for Netflix. Because we meet the character at the very end of that movie who's basically the protagonist in this story. So so yeah, that was really good. And then, like I said, I just got caught up on random stuff that I hadn't read. I was way behind, and I actually got all, I got completely caught up. I did read a lot last week,
but it was just
you know, all the miscellaneous issues that I was behind on. But as of today, I'm completely caught up, except for the few books that came out today that I need to read. So, I feel like
I'm pretty far behind on a few things here and there, but I will get caught up. But I did get to read Daredevil today, Daredevil 23. That's still running strong. Really good.
Yeah.
You'll like Batman 101.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like I said, today specifically, I didn't get to read a lot. I had a lot on my plate at the store today, so I didn't get to read anything until the end of the day. And I started with the X-Books because I was into that story. So
yeah. I read Iron Man 2.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. I'm hoping for more in three, but I can't say it's like it wasn't like a Daredevil 2 when we read that, but we'll see how three is. I'm still invested. So, and the other one I read that it just didn't grab me was the Batman White Knight presents Harley Quinn.
Oh yeah. Oh really? Because I'm looking forward to reading that one.
Yeah, let me know what you think. I was just like, and I love Harley Quinn. I love all the Harley Quinn we've been reading.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just Harley Quinned out. I just wasn't ready for another, you know, alternate whatever. I got like two thirds of the way through.
You've read the other White Knight stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, I just, eh.
We'll see. I'll get, and that's just a one shot, I believe. So,
is it?
I thought it was. I don't think it's going anywhere else. But
okay,
maybe I'm wrong. But I thought it was just a one shot special.
Okay, but didn't grab me. I wasn't, you know, and enough on that.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna read it, so I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know
what I thought.
All right, ready to get to real world?
Sure. So, let's see. I finished watching The Haunting of Bly Manor. I think I was I was halfway done last week when we talked. I really enjoyed that. It was not... I don't even think it's a horror show, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it had as much jump scares as, like, an episode of Supernatural. And so, it's billed as, you know, as a horror series, but it was much more... to me, a love story than anything else that just was set in a ghost story. You know what I mean? But I really liked it. Now, I've seen a lot of hate for this online.
Yeah.
A lot of people comparing it to Hill House and, you know, and they just really didn't like it at all. It is not the same. Like, Hill House was completely different. It is basically all the same act. It's the same cast, just a completely different story. But I really liked this, especially the last two episodes. You almost could watch them independent of anything else and still get the gist of it. But but that last episode, it was kind of like that guy was back, like cutting up onions next to me. You know?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was really touching. What? You know,
something like, hit bonesaw in the heart.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
I'm not crying. You're cutting onions.
Yeah. So
look at you.
So, but you know, I got to reading, you know, I was reading some of, and I don't know why I do this, but I started reading some of the reviews and the comments, and it was clear to me that most of the people posting negative comments didn't even watch the show. They probably watched
the first.
That's
usually the case.
They probably watched the first episode and they were like, oh, this isn't anything like Kill House, and stopped watching it, because the comments were just, they couldn't have been made by anybody that actually watched the show.
Right.
Cause, like, you know, there's a ghost that shows up through, you know, the first half of the show. There's a ghost with glasses, a guy with glasses that shows up a bunch of times. And, you know, somebody makes the comment, they never talk about the ghost with glasses. There's like an entire episode devoted to that guy. You know, like halfway through, there's an entire episode that tells you exactly who this is. The story is narrated throughout by, you know, a woman that narrates the whole series. And they're like, you never get to find out who the narrator is. Well, the last episode tells you exactly who it is. You know, it's like, like everything they were saying is there, you know, it's just like, you clearly didn't watch this and you just didn't like it.
It's kind of like when people read the headlines and then react without reading the story.
I hate people like that. But yeah, I don't know. Like I was going to say, like, if horror is your thing, but it doesn't even have to be your thing. Like I thought this was good. I mean, it's a little slow at times because it's 10 episodes. So I think at times they devoted whole episodes to certain things that could have been done a little bit quicker. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was, I actually thought it was really good. I'm actually thinking about going back and watching the last two episodes again, cause I enjoyed them.
Oh, cool.
I really enjoyed them that much.
How many episodes was it?
It's 10.
10 episodes and yeah, they're what, 40, 50 minutes?
45 minutes or so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, oh, maybe Jen and I'll do that.
Yeah, maybe you will. And, you know, I meant to say, I was going to...
We haven't even watched anything this past week as far as shows go.
I was going to tell you that, too, because last week you asked if she had to watch Hill House to watch this one.
Yeah.
And I said no, but I neglected to say, but you could still go and watch Hill House. Like, she should still watch that if she likes horror stuff, because that was horror. Like, that was pretty creepy. So, if she likes that, she should go back and watch it, because I think she'd like it. But yeah, so we did that. And then Lydia and I watched Hellstrom, which premiered on Hulu this week. That's the Marvel story. Son of Satan.
How was that?
So yeah, I liked it. Again, that started out a little slow, like the first two episodes or so. I wasn't sure, like it felt like a little hokey. Like, I wasn't sure how it was going to be, but it really picked up, and I actually really liked it. And it's getting pretty good reviews. It's tied with Daredevil for the best reviewed shows as far as the Marvel shows go.
Oh, okay.
Now, that's not saying a lot, because besides Daredevil, the other ones weren't all that good. So
no, I thought they were.
I mean, they were okay. Like, yeah. I know a lot of people didn't like The Defenders or Iron Fist. So, you know,
no,
or
Iron
Cage.
Fist was the first season was pretty bad. Yeah. But that's why it was so bad. The other ones, the expectations
I liked
were so
Daredevil
high
and I liked Jessica Jones. But this is it's been getting some pretty good reviews. So, I thought it was pretty good. Again, it's 10 episodes. It's a full season. And, yeah, you should check it out. It's really good.
What's that? So, Hellstrom?
Hellstrom. Yeah, and it's on Hulu.
Okay.
And then.
Checking that out.
Yeah, and then that was it. I mean, really, we didn't watch a lot this week either. We watched the finale of Lovecraft Country.
Okay, you finished that? We just watched episode, what is it, 10 episodes, so we watched 10, 9. Yeah.
Okay.
That was a good episode.
Yes, 9 was good and 10 was good. Yeah.
Okay.
Really good ending.
It does wrap up, though, huh? Because it looks like it is. You're getting a good story here at the end.
It does. Now, the door is open, obviously, for season 2 if they decide to do one, but the main story does wrap up. So it's pretty
well, the
good.
Title of it of 10 is Full Circle,
right?
I saw that. Yeah. And you know, it's, but episode 9 was really, really well done. But I'm saying to Jen, as we're watching the show, there's so much crazy stuff going on. I'm like, this is the show from episode to episode should have been called Stranger Things.
Yeah.
You know, because like, what did we say watching Stranger Things? Like, it's only one thing.
Well,
it's
by the end
multiple.
Of, right.
This but, show is multiple issues
right.
everywhere.
You don't feel that way in season one of Stranger Things, but by season three, you've seen the same thing three times.
So, right. It should have been called Tunnels or something. It's like, it just.
Or the Upside Down or something.
Yeah, the Upside Down or something. But yeah, it's, but, you know, Lovecraft Country could have been called Stranger Things, but I mean, awesome story.
Yeah, and it's really cool.
It's definitely worth the watch going through it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the last episode of that.
Yeah.
We watched a bunch of movies this week, and we watched, for my other podcast I did, Sleepy Hollow from 1999.
Yeah,
Johnny Depp, Christina Ricci.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, it was fun. It's been a while. The movie's 21 years old, but that was a good time. And have you seen or heard of Trick or Treat from 2007?
I've heard of it. I've never seen
with
it.
Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
Is in it. What the heck is his name? He played Hannibal Lecter in one movie, not in the first movie. Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Brian Cox is in it. You wouldn't even recognize him at first, but this movie is it's just a fun Halloween horror comedy.
Right.
I mean, it's bonkers.
It's like, yeah, I haven't seen that.
It's definitely like a fun Halloween vibe. It's got all the Halloween colors, the trick or treater. It's called Trick or Treat, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got a few, it's like got like three crazy stories that all intertwine, but not really at the end. And it was fun. It was just a fun movie. Jen, at the end of it, she goes, "What was that?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Well, it's a comedy," but that one was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And,
it's no Hubie Halloween, but it was fun.
Yeah. And the other one was I ended up in going down the Back to the Future rabbit hole and watched last
4Ks
night.
Came out.
Yeah, the 4Ks came out and I put it in and it's just, what a blast. I only meant to watch just like 5 minutes of it and I just sat there. It was like with all the soundtrack to that with, you know, Huey Lewis and all the songs from the 80s and just unreal. Unreal. That was so much fun.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a while either.
Yeah, definitely worth it. Did you grab that yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
No, not yet. I need to pick it up. I did my pre-orders for Lord of the Rings, though.
I did that as well.
Yeah, so
that comes out, what, December 1st?
December 1st, yeah. So I bought both of those sets.
Along with Blade.
Yeah, I didn't buy that one yet, though.
Blade and 4K. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Well, I don't know, because remember, we didn't love it when we watched it again recently. So I don't know that it's on high on my list of 4Ks to buy right now. But
right. I know. It's, well.
Because the movie won't be different.
No.
It's just going
right.
to look better. So
yeah. I enjoy the home theater side of it. So
right.
You know I'll be owning it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's it. Like I mentioned, I watched the premiere of Star Trek Discovery season 3. So that was good. Like I said, that was really good.
Should I jump in on that?
You can. Or, well, you can get in on Discovery. Like you can watch. I mean, I'd start with season 1, obviously, but technically you don't have to because this is a completely new direction for the series. So,
oh, okay.
I mean, you could pick up with season 3 if you wanted to, but you won't know who any of the you won't know who they are. But like Discovery is a series you could watch without, like Picard. Like you don't have to watch Next Generation to watch Picard. So like you don't have to watch any other Star Trek to watch Discovery. I would definitely jump in on it. Like season one was good, but you know, again, it's like any show trying to kind of find its way in the beginning. Season two really is where it came on pretty strong. And then season three looks like it's going to be really good. So I would jump on it. I think it's good. And then I watched pretty much season two of Korra.
I didn't get any Avatar in this week, which right before we sat down, I was like, oh, I haven't watched any Avatar. That's how crazy it's been.
Yeah, I'm like firmly invested now. You know, like again, after watching Avatar, I was like, you know, this is different, and it was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to get into this as much as I did Avatar, and I still like Avatar more, but but now that I'm done with, like I said, I watched pretty much all of season two this week, and by now I'm like pretty invested in the characters too. They all have their personalities, and you know, everybody's kind of fleshed out by now, and. It's really good. It's really good. I still don't think it's as good as Avatar, but it's still really, really decent. So
cool.
So yeah.
All right. Well, that's all I have.
Yeah, me too.
All right. That's it for this week then, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
All righty.
It's still 2 hours, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
So
still a lot of show.
Pretty much. Yeah, we had a lot of content today.
Well, it was a lot of news. Everything just kind of flew after that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So, but all right, that'll do it for this week. Between now and next week, you can find us on Twitter at @brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com, or you can check out us and all the other great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. You know, hashtag nerds are the best. Or you could go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. And, hey, you can also find me over on Twitch. You know, you pop in on Twitch and watch Dr. Joe, and you could chat with me over on the side because I'm always.
I was
going
to say, what are you doing on Twitch? It's like,
Dr. Joe.
You don't have enough going on that you have to have a Twitch show too?
I sit there and listen to those guys, and I pop in a few comments. And me and Freddie were talking last week or a couple weeks ago. Freddie from Indie Alley, he popped back in, so that was nice seeing him again. He's back on. If you want to chat over there, you can pop in on Dr. Joe's Backcracker on Twitch. Pretty cool. So check us out there too, or check them out, and maybe I'll be there.
Yeah.
So. All right, that'll do it for this week. Have a great week, everybody. See you next week.
Take care, everyone.